This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Jordan Cornette will join us in about a half an hour. We've talked some football. We've talked some hoops, some offbeat stuff, some terrible weather in the Northeast. Can't wait for the ACC championship game on Saturday. But we're going to go back to hoops, though, Wes, because we had some conference play last night, and a team that I think all of us were kind of eager to see is Duke, because the Blue Devils did not play great against Michigan State or Illinois. In fact, kind of got pushed around a little bit in the two home losses at Cameron. But here they are on the road at Notre Dame last night. No Jalen Johnson. He's got foot issues. He's going to be out for at least three more weeks, according to Coach K. But you know what? The young pup stepped up last night. Three of the freshmen in double digits. Hurt goes for 18. Duke never trailed in the game and takes care of business. A kind of an important game. Just Coach K kept talking about, hey, I don't know what our identity is. We don't have that yet. That was a good start for them, though, last night, taking the W on the road.
Totally agree with you, Pack. Interesting ball game for sure on a lot of fronts. The one thing, too, that catches your eye is while Matthew Hurt, who's become, in some ways, maybe the most consistent Blue Devil from a scoring perspective, got some help last night. Three other players in double figures to help him along the way. DJ Stewart, Jeremy Roach, Jamin Brakefield all went for 10 or more. We got to see more of Mark Williams inside last night. He's a developing guy, in addition to Wendell Moore and Jordan Goldwire. And if you will, the veteran pieces to join Hurt in the Duke fold. Interesting team to watch. It's I hate to use the term because sometimes it's meant to be a negative, but Duke is a developmental piece at this point, right? And it's got to gel. We got some chemistry things, combinations of lineups, things like that. Maybe this is going to take a little longer to get there, and that might be okay for Coach K. Long as it doesn't sacrifice maybe the quality of play that they have or the potential to have in the ACC this year.
Right. I mean, in fact, I would even throw Duke and Kentucky, big picture here, kind of in the same boat. I mean, they've got a wave of young guys that right now were just not quite ready to go up against more experienced teams, and hence Duke's kind of slow start losing those two games. Kentucky 1-4, their worst start since 84-85, and you mentioned they get North Carolina this week, and they've had so much fun against ACC teams. I guess they want to try it one more time. But Duke's going to get better as the year goes on. There ain't no question. That's why Coach K has won a trillion games. And you just know by the time we get to tournament time, those guys will have that thing figured out. But he needed to start seeing some signs of life. I think Duke got that last night. And even when Notre Dame made a run in the second half and cut it to five, again, Duke had to lead the whole night. But when the Irish cut it to five, the response of his team was a 9-0 run to just kind of say, no, not tonight. We're just better than you guys. So I think that's a great sign, though, if you're Coach K and Duke, you get the win. But as I pointed out to you earlier, hey, you get the win, but what kind of momentum do you have? Because your next game is now December 29th. So we're going to go basically a week and a half until we see the Duke Blue Devils play once again. But a good win, though, last night for Coach K.
Here's my question then, Pac, for you. In the bigger picture, if you will, Notre Dame comes off the win against Kentucky, right? Irish can't really keep the momentum of the win. So where are you with Notre Dame at this point? I mean, are we looking at Dane Goodwin? We're looking at Prentice Hubb, and now we gotta find somebody else to be maybe more consistent, Nate Leshefsky. Those three pieces that we're talking about with Pete Sampson. The rest of it kind of is in Cormac Ryan certainly trying to help, things like that. But we got to find some more out about Notre Dame along the way here too, don't we?
No question. And you're going to find out more about them this weekend because they play Purdue. Again, another team that's 0-2 against the ACC. Purdue's already lost to Miami in the challenge. They lost to Clemson as well. So, again, I think Notre Dame, you're going to start finding out some answers. We talked about Mike Bray's schedule before this season started, and it was brutal. I mean, they are playing people of note. So they have a chance, and we talked about this, that if they get off to a slow start, it could be kind of a rocky December, early January. Now, keep in mind, they still got Virginia up next as far as their ACC play goes. So things are not going to get easier for Mike Bray's guys, and I suspect with the way they shoot, Wes, that there will be nights where they make everything they look at and you go, boy, that's a good-looking club. There'll be nights where they don't make shots. You kind of go, boy, they're going to really struggle. You can just go back to the Kentucky game. I mean, they're up 33-9 at Rupp, and you're thinking, wow, you watch the first half. You used to look at Notre Dame, you go, man, what are they ranked? They top 20? Then you watch the second half, you go, goodness gracious, have they practiced? I think you're going to kind of get that with Notre Dame with the way they play. So Mike Bray's got some work to do, too. Again, it's still early, but that schedule worries me for Notre Dame because they could find themselves taking some serious L's there moving forward.
Yeah, Notre Dame BC playing a rugged front end for sure. All right, let's jump to the two other ball games. Another conference game last night you saw here on ACC Network. Pittsburgh in the second half went to work at Miami. Kane shorthanded before the game, and it didn't get any better during the game. Right. But Audis Toney and Ithiel Horton combined for 29 of their 33 in the second half. There's Toney banging down one. 70-55, road win for Jeff Capel's team. Look, this is a team that you just got to kind of keep an eye on them. Champagne, by the way, a very common night by his standards as of late. But I was impressed with the way Pitt played in the second half, especially, Mark. I thought it was important for them to get a road win in league play. That's not been a favorable spot the last couple of years. And kind of interested another team here to keep an eye on. I think what Pitt would have fallen into the pancake meter of need to see more before I order type thing.
Yep.
Well, they showed you a little more last night.
Well, I thought they caught Miami at the perfect time. I mean, Miami's shorthanded. Again, yep. you get the win, no excuses. Hey, move on to the next one. They out-rebounded the Canes by 14, but it was really that 19-2 run in the second half where they just said, hey, catch you later. Miami, yep. we just don't know anything about Miami. I mean, you know, what does the lineup look like? What does your roster look like, given all the injuries and, you know, again, five scholarship guys? I mean, I don't know what Jim Larrañaga is going to do. But Jeff Capel's guys now, after a bump in the road right out of the gate, you're kind of like, yeah, what's going on? Now they got a little bit momentum here. So, Pitt, again, you get the win on the road, yeah. You take it, you move on to the next one. But Miami's just got to figure out a way to get some healthy bodies on the floor.
Early in the afternoon, Mike Monaco, Malcolm Huckabee had the matinee, if you will. The Fighting Josh Macris, the Orange, coming up with a nice win. 72-56 was not easy. Northeastern was throwing in threes in the first half. Bill Cohen's got a nice team in the Colonial. But you know what? Gerard had 21, Guerrier 18. There's a little finish by Quincy at the iron. 16 rebounds, by the way, for Quincy Guerrier as well. Syracuse wins 62-56. Buddy Boeheim and Alan Griffin held to a combined 2 points in the ball game. They were 2 of 18, the Orange were, from three-point range.
That, you know, I think they made them all on Chestnut Hill. Because when I watched them over the weekend, I mean, they made everything. Welcome to college hoops, right?
Yep,
one night
did.
You see a team, you say, boy, that's a great-looking club. And then, again, that game was going on during the radio show, so I wasn't able to watch it. But, man, I went back and read and looked at stats, and you're like, whoa, was there a typo here? What happened? Hey, the object's to win the game. If you're Jim Boeheim, you get the W, which is good. But, man, do you have some coachable moments there? And how many games could Syracuse win if you're going to tell me that Griffin and Boeheim combined for two? If you tell me before a game, hey, these two guys are there going to score 2 points, you're thinking, well, that's a loss. Well, it wasn't, but another teachable moment. If you're Syracuse, you get the win, much like we were talking about with Pitt, you move on to the next one. But they got to shoot the ball better than that.
Mm-hmm. A couple of notes here, basketball news, and then we'll tell you again about the Carolina switch for Saturday's doubleheader in Cleveland. The NCAA Division I Council yesterday afternoon, by the way, granted immediate eligibility to all D1 transfers for 2020 and 2021. That means that Trey Wirtz of Notre Dame was able to play last night, a transfer from Santa Clara. He's eligible immediately. Elijah Olanini was able to play last night for Miami in the ball game. That also means the Panthers are going to get their transfer from Ohio. Sladibi, I think, is the way you pronounce the last name. I got to double-check that, Pac. He would be eligible as well. So here we go. better late than never. But what were we waiting on here, Mark? This could have been done in October when we were handing out bonus waivers by the NCAA Division I Council.
A lack of leadership and direction is the answer to the question. It goes back to Coach Mike Krzyzewski harping on the fact that we need somebody in charge to run basketball. And he's been saying it for years and years and years. Just another example of something slipping through the crack because there's nobody on top of it in Indianapolis. Simple as that. There's no other way to spin it. There's no need to spin it. That's what it is. So, now, like you said, the good news is at least the kids can go play. They got the green light. The question is, why did it take so long?
I saw a note yesterday that said somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 appeals were waiting on yesterday's announcement.
It's crazy.
60.
It's ridiculous.
In Division I basketball. Just absolutely. We've been playing
sense.
3 weeks and appreciate y'all joining in. Could have done it 2 months ago. Could have done exactly what you did yesterday, 60 days ago, 90 days ago. In fact, when you said that you were going to have waivers for this year, you could have said then that you were going to do it. And you did that, what, in September, Pac? Late September? Winter sports was given the waiver, right?
You could have gone back when we shut all of this down in the middle of March and realized, hey, guys, let's look at our eligibility situation. How are we going to get in front of this problem? You could have done that in March, but, again, this is too easy. This is low-hanging fruit when it comes to NCAA and having another subcommittee meeting with Mark Emmert, getting donuts and the croissants for the office. I mean, it's goofy. Ridiculous.
Okay. I want to tie this in to the next part, which is also coming up next. You'll hear Jeff Hafley with Pac from yesterday's Off Campus on SiriusXM ESPNU Radio concerning signing day and some other comments. Let me also tie what the D1 Council did yesterday, Pac, to the immediate transfer eligibility now that certainly is headed for approval at some point in January. But let's be honest now, this is the precursor to all that. So get ready for now the real transactive nature of college athletics, especially football, basketball, to start to take place. And the immediate eligibility, that one without fee, one without sitting deal, when that becomes real here and is rubber stamped and moved on, we're getting ready to have probably the biggest land shift we've ever seen. I mean, think about the transfer portal as it is right now in football. The senior coming back to play the, quote, bonus year, and about all these other kids that might want to change address without a fee, so to speak.
I think the year of 21 has the chance to be the biggest seismic shift in the history of college athletics. Talking about with players, but name, image, and likeness is going to hit guaranteed. And you better be ready for it. And I think 21 is also going to be the year that you feel the effects of what's happened in 20 with the pandemic from a financial standpoint, where every single athletic department in the country is going to be faced with some really, really incredibly difficult choices. And there's not going to be a whole lot of options. I think 21, and I don't want to be gloom and doom here, but I'm being realistic. 21, I think, could be the biggest year ever in the history of college athletics in terms of how it is going to change what all of us do moving forward for not only the next decade, but for decades to come. I just sense that we're kind of reaching that point, whether we're talking about the college football playoff, name, image, and likeness, financial issues, Title IX.
What about the Alston case, Pac?
All of it. 21.
Yep.
It is going to be an incredible, amazing year, and not necessarily good and bad, but I mean, it's going to have everything. It's going to be an amazing time. Yeah. It really is.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Yesterday afternoon, Jeff Hafley, the head football coach at Boston College, joined me on Off Campus, and we got into his recruiting class and his first year and the incredible job that BC did with COVID and everything else. And at the tail end of the interview, I was like, you know what? Here's a guy that saw Notre Dame. Here's a guy that saw Clemson. So let's just put this combination together. So I asked Coach point blank, what do you expect in terms of the upcoming lowdown, knockdown, drag-out affair between Notre Dame and Clemson? What do you think we're going to get?
I think you're going to see a great game. I think, obviously, Trevor coming back changes a lot. I mean, he's a dynamic football player. I mean, big-time football player. I have a ton of respect for their staff and their defense. And then Notre Dame, wow, up front, their tight ends, their running back. I think the quarterback is playing as good football as anybody right now in college. I think it's going to come down to who plays the cleanest game, turnovers, penalties, who can score in the red zone. I'm really excited to watch, but it should be a really, really good battle. I'd be surprised if it was not a close game. But I do think it's going to come down to the ball and who can score points in the red zone. So I wouldn't be surprised. I know both defenses are really good. I wouldn't be surprised if more points were scored than people think.
Jeff Hadley, after you played them, that you went, wow, they're a lot better in the blank department than I thought.
I just think their physicality. I mean, that team, when I left, I mean, you could hear it on the field. Coach Kelly's done a really nice job of building it up front in both lines. And then those tight ends, I mean, wow, all three of them. It was a loud, physical, violent team who I have a lot of respect for.
All right, same question with Clemson. All right, I know you saw them with Ohio State. You go down to Death Valley again, life was good in the first half. The one thing about Clemson that surprised you the most when you saw them was what?
Yeah, I saw him up close and personal last year, and I'll say the same thing. The running back, ETN, we did everything we could to stop him running the ball, and we did. And then all of a sudden he lines up the receiver, and he kind of took over the game. So you got to be careful with that guy. He's not just a runner. He can play wide out. He can catch the ball, and he is a phenomenal football player. I know everybody's going to talk about Trevor, but that running back is a special player.
Jeff Hafley yesterday on Off Campus, and again, first of all, what a great job he did, right? We'll get to Notre Dame Clemson, but what in the first-year coach, late start, no spring, no summer, Kovac doesn't get approved by the NCAA because they were sound asleep forever, finally gets his QB, and he ends the year 6-5. A pretty spectacular first year for Jeff Hafley.
Yeah, I think it's in a normal year, you know, you'd say, okay, well, maybe, you know, a few here or there. But I don't think even in a normal year we would have anticipated a winning season, right?
No.
And for him to turn around a 6-win campaign, really, really phenomenal, especially when all the other prelim stuff got scrapped. And I'm excited for his team. You know, they're not going to find him in the top 30 of the recruiting, but you're going to find Boston College, I think, has recruited guys that fit the system they want to play. And we heard they had a great impact early. And when you start kind of looking ahead here, I think BC is one of those teams we want to keep an eye on, Pack, in year two of his administration, especially with Jurkovic back, no doubt about it.
Well, one of the things he talked about regarding his recruiting, which we got into, was the fact that his staff did a great job combing the countryside. When you go down their list, again, who knows? He even said, we'll find out who can play because you can't answer that question now. But they went around the country, and he talked about the BC brand, great academic institution, and he said the brand right now is incredibly strong. And so his guys, his staff, was able to go on the road and sell BC because, let's be honest, dead period in recruiting. You could go on campus. I think that if you're a fan of BC football and the good folks up there at Chestnut Hill in the Boston area, you got to be thrilled with this guy. The upside of their football program is outstanding, and he gets a lot of credit. He really wowed a lot of folks in year one.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, again, the excitement level pretty high. By the way, if you missed any of the signing day special on the Huddle, quick check of the rankings. Pretty good day for the ACC when you look at, what was it, Pack? Eight now in the top 30.
Eight in the top 30.
Eight schools in the top 30. Of national rankings. Here's a look. Now, Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, North Carolina, 5, 8, 9, and 10. Dave Doran, NC State, go 25. Mike Norvell, 28 at Florida State, 29 Virginia, 30th Pittsburgh. Pretty stout, Pack, especially kudos to Bronco Mendenhall getting in that top 30, too.
On paper, I will emphasize that because I am a true believer that you can give me all that you want, which is all fine and good, which is great. But you're going to find out when kids get on campus who wants to compete, who's coachable, who's develops, how many of these guys still hang around. Again, I always get a kick out of these rankings. It's like, hey, if you want to find out what the ranking is for this year's class, tap me on the shoulder in 23 and 24, and I'll tell you, boy, that was a great class you signed 2 or 3 years ago. Look how many guys are contributing to your football program. But nevertheless, everybody's excited. Coaches are excited. Fans are excited. It seems like on paper, the ACC had a pretty good day.
And our buddy Matt Schick, always qualifying things from a recruiting standpoint, does a great job over on SiriusXM sometimes with Tom Luganville. They have a nice program there where they do Recruiting Nation. He said last night there are only six programs that won a game in the college football playoff. And look who finished sixth, top six in 2021 recruiting. Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, LSU, Clemson, Oregon.
Those
crazy
six.
How it works, isn't it?
You got to have good players. I know that much. There's a lot of great coaches who can X and O, but if you don't have the dudes up front or whatever the combination is, you won't win a whole lot of games. It goes hand in hand.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday, right here on ACC Network. All right, we're going to go back to the frozen tundra because Jordan Cornette's going to join us. And everybody that we keep talking to up in Bristol keeps talking about the 18 inches of snow that they received. Jordan, being the experienced Midwesterner, has no issues with it whatsoever. And there he is.
Yeah.
Jordan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Guys, you can see it says Chi-Town on the sweater. I'm built for this kind of weather, man. This is how I thrive.
Oh, are you?
This is get it done, get out there, shovel the snow. My wife tried to get me to do it when I got home at 1 a.m. last night. I was like, come on, we got to wait for more snow to come. Then you shovel. It's going to be my workout here in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, we'll keep you longer if we need to. If that helps you out, we'll get you to 9:45 if you want to put it off. Procrastinate just a little bit.
Yeah, hang on. Before we get to, I know you, because you had the signing day special yesterday, you did college basketball last night with Dallin and Farnham in studio, sensational work all across the board, but I need you to break through one more highlight package for us. Okay. We got some highlights here I want to run through, and I'd like for you just to talk us through these. Okay. Roll the videotape, please. Can you take us through some of this?
That's incredible that you guys are able to find not only one, but two highlights of me. Oh, wow. Three. That's incredible. I don't think there is more out there of me. That is probably the best work you guys have done for me to find that. I mean, there's a lot of lowlights, way more lowlights than highlights.
By the way, how soft were those rims at Chrysler Arena?
I mean, did you see that thing?
Stuck to it.
Everything fell in.
Went down back.
Well, like Velcro up there. Goodness gracious.
Unbelievable.
By the way, we'll start with hoops with you, and we'll start with your alma mater. And I mentioned to Wes, I did not know the stat until last night. I did not know 24, right? 24 straight against ranked teams. And Jordan, I would have lost that bet if somebody would have asked me on the street.
Well, if you would have picked Notre Dame to win last night, you would have lost that bet as well, Pack. It's interesting, man. When I watch that team, I'm kind of – I don't want to say down on the guys, but that's a game that you're propped up to win last night. You're the older group. We've seen how Duke's looked against older groups in Michigan State and Illinois, and I'm not saying by any means it's Notre Dame, those kind of teams. But you're a veteran-laden team, and you're playing at home, and you've got to take advantage of that. Defensively, I didn't like the effort. I didn't like the effort on the backboard. I didn't like the effort from Notre Dame and how they let Duke dictate the tempo and style of the game. They got sped up. They're uncharacteristically sloppy. They got dominated on the glass. Duke got whatever they wanted, but Duke was making shots against the zone. And if teams are able to make shots against that 2-3 Notre Dame zone, it's going to be a long game for them. And to rely on Dane Goodwin and only that, it's not enough.
Jordan, I'm trying to kind of gather here after a pretty small sample size, right, of conference play. I mean, basically we've had less than a week of it because BC and Syracuse was last weekend. So let's kind of fast forward here a little bit. What do we know, and what do you think, or who do you think the biggest challenger to Florida State is right now?
Ooh. You know, it's really tough, Wes, because you look at Louisville and that matchup versus Wisconsin, we'll be able to learn a lot. Like, I don't know who that Louisville team is. That's a team that's overachieved to this point. UNC, I still need to see more from that backcourt. We know what that established front line is for that team. There's so much unknown, and now that I see how Dave Dorn is with holding us accountable for any picks that we make early on, I think I'm just going to – which, by the way, I'm not even an analyst, so I really don't know how I got thrown into that with the football thing. Everybody.
Oh, you're in. Don't worry. You're in.
Well, by the way, everybody picked the Pack to win more than four games, by the way. So, like, all this rage that's coming from NC State football, like, let's not, like, get facts get in the way of what really went on there.
Well,
here is
where I'm disappointed in all of you, because if Dave Dorn would have pulled that stunt on this show, here's what I would have done. Hey, coach, you hand me that dozen, and I'm going to eat 12 of them right here during the interview and put pressure on you next year to see if you can reach a dozen. That's what I would have done to Dorn.
Yeah, absolutely. The funniest thing was I'm sitting there talking to the guy beforehand, and we're talking about how he's had a coach of the year type season and really, really cool to watch what they've done. Couldn't have been more complimentary. Definitely got me in the air with the head fake once we went on air.
Yeah.
But again, all of us – all of us picked them to have a good year. So I don't know really where it comes from. It's the fakest chip on the shoulder I've ever seen in my life. But go off, NC State. Have fun with it.
All right. from a basketball perspective, getting back to that, it's interesting. You rattled off Louisville. You went right to North Carolina. We talked about Duke. But the team that was picked to win the conference, speaking of predictions by the media, was Virginia. What do we know about the Hoos? I mean, they're kind of a mystery team a little bit too, given the fact we've seen a loss against San Francisco. The Kent State game goes to OT. Really haven't seen them play a lot. We didn't see them in the ACC Big Ten Challenge due to COVID. They're kind of a mystery team as well, I'd say.
It's funny. Mamadi Diakite is a big loss. And he's a big loss because how versatile of a defender he is and the boxes that he checks for this team. Insert Jay Huff. And, yeah, you still got that versatile piece. But he was such a glue guy to so much of what the Virginia team does. And when you insert a guy like Sam Hauser, I think they're still trying to find their spots having a go-to guy. I think they're all kind of learning how to gel on the court. I mean, keep in mind, they've only played, what, four or five games. So Virginia, their upside and what they're going to become, I really have no fear in them. I do want to shout out, Pac, though, your Clemson Tigers. That team is a fun team to watch, man. They spread you out. They play a lot of guys like Leonard Hamilton does there at Florida State. And Amir Sims, how he's grown from role player to star, and how they everybody can guard, everybody can catch and make a play with the basketball. Clemson's another team you've got to throw in there to talk about. I don't know if they can win the conference, but another really positive to the start of this season when everybody's naturally looking at some negatives because the mainstays haven't looked as good as they're supposed to this early.
But, Jordan, here's the other thing, too. Clemson is – by today's college basketball standards, old. I mean, Amir Sims is a senior. You got Alamir Dawes, who played a ton. John Newman's a veteran piece. I mean, Clemson kind of checks the boxes of sneaky success in college basketball, right?
Yeah, 100%. Get old, stay old. That's why the frustration comes with Notre Dame last night versus Duke. I mean, this is exactly what Coach Bray's wanted in a program, is guys that have been there for 3 years now, logged a ton of minutes, should go out there and show it in these games. And look, I know Clemson is coming off that loss to Virginia Tech, but I pegged the Hokies to win that game because they were due, and Clemson was also due to have a letdown. It's going to be a very competitive season. I look at all these teams and say, night in and night out, you just never know, partially because a lot of questions haven't been answered because it's so early and there's been pauses in programs, but also there's a lot of talent spread out in this conference. And when a team like Clemson steps up and does what they're doing right now, it just gives us that added depth and intrigue.
All right. We have the most 2020 thing in college basketball happen yesterday, and that is we had a doubleheader made for television go through an opponent switch when Carolina, who was supposed to play Ohio State, switched off of playing the Buckeyes to play Kentucky because their protocols are similar in the ACC and the SEC. So Ohio State now plays UCLA. If Carolina beats Kentucky, That'll be the fourth team in the ACC to beat a Kentucky team. Is that right, Pac? Four?
Third.
Is that right?
Third.
Oh, no, three. It'll be three, right?
Right.
Third. So, Jordan, what will that say about Carolina, or maybe what will it say about Kentucky?
Well, that's a very loaded question. Kentucky is a team that is so hurt by a lot of teams. And Wes, this goes back to what you're saying. The older teams are the ones that kind of pick it and have faith in this moment in time with COVID. Kentucky has had no time to align dang near 10 new faces. And so to get those guys on the same page, what we know about Coach Cal's squad is they get better as the season progresses. They look really bad now. They're not going to be world beaters, but they're going to be infinitely better. If you're Carolina, you're nervous that maybe this is the game they get right. But with North Carolina, it's all about reps for that backcourt and the ability for them not to knock down shots, because that's not going to be the DNA of Carolina. Carolina goes and gets that thing, but they play fast. They guard, and they make sure to master the backboard. Being able to play through a preseason player of the year like Harrison Brooks and have all those other bigs, because there are four of them now there at Carolina, that should be where they dominate this game. They're the older group. They should really own the trenches versus Kentucky. This will speak a lot to me about who Carolina is, because they should go in there businesslike with their approach and do what they're expected to do. You don't get to say that a lot versus Kentucky. You are expected to win this game and win it convincingly.
So what's going to go with you and Eric McLean this weekend? We've got this little thing we're going to get together here in Charlotte on Saturday, and there's a lot riding on it. We're not talking about an ACC championship. It's college football playoff time. The first one was an instant classic. So you and McLean got something going on for this one or not?
He's afraid to bet me. He's nervous, and he doesn't want to admit it. And I'm like, you're double-digit favorites, bro. What's going on? But I got to ask you guys, because I was thinking about this. Is there a sequel that's ever been better than the original? Can we think of one ever made in a game, in a movie, anything where the sequel has been better than the original? If not, I think this is the first time where we have it, because I think this game is going to live up to the hype. Go ahead, Wes. What do you got?
I got one.
I like the new huddle host this year better than the old huddle host.
Well, that's a lie, and we all know that's a lie.
I got one.
All right.
I got one that can answer that. I'll give it to you.
Give it to me.
The first Packer and Durham holiday special versus the one you're going to see next week. The second one's better than the first one.
Oh, wow. And that hasn't even been packaged and delivered yet. So you are overselling on the sequel here.
That's called a tease, is what that's called. So the answer to your question is the Packer and Durham holiday hangover. Is it hangover or hangout? Ho, ho, ho. It's one of those. It's something like that. I don't know what we're going to call it.
Hangout. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. Javon McKinley and Michael Mayer are going to be the stars in this game for Notre Dame. Both of them had good showings the first time around. McKinley's even grown even more so as one of those Manute Bowl-like targets that Notre Dame has, where everybody's 7 feet tall that they throw it up to. I like those two to have a big game.
Listen, Jordan, can you explain to me, because I am not a gambler, and everybody I've asked, whether it be on this show or on the radio show in the afternoon, nobody has the answer to this. How is it that Clemson's a – I understand that they're a favorite. I get that part. How are they a double-digit favorite? Can you explain that one to me?
I'd have to do it by gritting my teeth, because it really frustrates me, the lack of respect. I think a lot of this has to do with rear view. 2012, Notre Dame, Alabama in a championship game. 2018, Notre Dame, Clemson, that 30-3 loss in the CFP semifinal. And also just the fact that, like you guys very well know, so many guys are now back for Clemson. The presumptive number one pick, Trevor Lawrence. But the defense, I think looking at the fact that they're going to be healthier defensively has everybody believing that this is going to be what? I mean, it was a 7-point win for the Irish the first time around, and now it's plus 10 the other way. That's a 17-point shift against a Notre Dame team that looks arguably as good as any in the country. That disrespect is real, man. I mean, Coach Doran wants to talk about disrespect. I mean, Coach Kelly, I think, has a pretty good argument about real disrespect.
I don't get it.
All right, let's go to the video. Wait, let's go to the videotape here before we say goodbye, shall we? Let's run the videotape of maybe Jordan's prediction the first time Notre Dame and Clemson played.
Let's go! Let's go!
Irish. Boo, boo, boo. Boo, boo, boo. They have no answer for Ian Book. They have no answer for Ian Book. Wow. Wow. I lost my voice. I can't go crazy. That's it. We did it. We beat him. Oh, my God.
They call Notre Dame fans obnoxious. I mean, Exhibit A. There it is, right there on full display. You sure you like the second host better than the first one, Wes? Are you kidding me?
Hey, I'm going to send you a name of a doctor. He will be able to help you out. I've seen cases like you before. This guy's great. You don't have to give me no tips. I'm just going to send it directly to you right now, just in case, yeah. Right? Because you really do need some medical assistance on that one.
Yeah, get him some help, would you? I tell you what. Yeah. Let me just say this. Thank God you're married to a Hoosier, because if you were not married to a Hoosier, you would be over the top. But once in a while, you get put in your place by your wife. In fact, I'd say often you get put in your place by your wife.
We all do.
How about 100%? You rattle off what my schedule was last night. I'm busy like the rest of us, blessed to be so. And all she's concerned about is after I make a two-hour drive home, can I shovel the driveway before the sun comes up? I mean, are you kidding me? Who runs the household? There's your answer.
Yeah, well, we knew that before we ever asked you, but I know this much. This interview's come to an end, so a shovel is going to be in your hand in the next 35 seconds.
Good luck
to you. So congratulations.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll finish like this, everybody. Go Pack. Are you happy, Coach Thorne? Go Pack. Go Pack, Coach Thorne.
You got to give it. No. You got to give it the Go Pack.
Hey,
come on, you
got to
get it in the front of the screen. Go Pack.
Yeah. There we go. Go
no,
Pack.
More in the front. More in the front.
Coach Thorne, can you hear me? Go Pack. We said you'd win more than four games. We weren't disrespecting you, but hey, go Pack.
Talk to you later.
Way to win friends and influence people, JC. You're doing a great job.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
There he goes. First time he has the football in his hands. It's a house call.
The Disney Spirit Award is recognizing Darian Rencher.
It reminds you that you're in the right place, that you're doing the right thing. It was all worth it.
He has been such an influence to these guys on so many different levels.
Well, when you get a chance Saturday morning, Darian Rencher, his entire journey, all part of the two-hour huddle run-up to noon kick in Winston-Salem with Florida State and Wake Forest. JC will be there, EJ Manuel, Eric McClain, Coach Rick. They'll also get you ready for Clemson and Notre Dame's road to Charlotte and who has the edge in the rematch. EMAC will be live at BOA on Saturday as well, plus Clemson and Notre Dame NFL greats give their game predictions for the ACC title. Great to be back with Mark Packer on the Thursday edition of the show. Big show tomorrow, by the way. Kirk Herbstreit, who will call the game on ABC on Saturday afternoon, joins us, and the commissioner, John Swofford, by on the eve of the title tilt in the Queen City. Pack.
Tremendous show tomorrow. I would just say one thing, I've said this before, I'm on record. My favorite part of our show is interacting with the student athletes of all sports. And Darian Rencher is one of my favorite ACC student athletes. I've said this before. If I was a company, I would hire him yesterday. He is about as sharp a dude as you're going to deal with as far as understanding the big picture of life. Got his degree. I just saw over the weekend that went through that ceremony. He is an incredibly impressive dude. So highly suggest you check that out. That guy is really he's going to be an impact player. And I'm not even talking football. I'm talking about life. He is a first-class dude. And we got a bunch of them in this league, men and women. I think it's the coolest thing about our conference From an academic standpoint, it's always outstanding. We're always talking about championships and games and all that stuff on this show. But the student athletes in this league are really what make it up. And congrats to Darian and everybody else. It's I guarantee you will enjoy that segment. It'll be great.
No doubt. Darian Wrench, Charles Snowden on the football side are two of the more impressive kids we've had on this program throughout the 200 and this is show 281 today, the 281 television shows and the couple hundred radio shows we did, Pack. I mean, those two guys right there, really unbelievable in terms of just their presence and also their thoughts and actions here, certainly in their college careers, and we wish them nothing but the best at the completion of those college careers as well. Let's pivot here to basketball. We mentioned this a moment ago with Jordan, and this is worth noting here in the last couple minutes. You heard yesterday afternoon, perhaps, about North Carolina switching to play Kentucky from playing Ohio State in a doubleheader this week. That's part and parcel because of some COVID protocols, testing, that kind of thing. The Tar Heels and Wildcats are on a similar path, so they elected to play there, you know, just in case. But really, it's kind of a 2020 thing, right? So is tonight. 8 o'clock Eastern time, the game's available on ESPN+. 2 days ago, NC State was not playing St. Louis, Pack. Right. Tuesday afternoon, NC State and St. Louis decided they're going to play tonight in St. Louis. The Wolfpack has not played since December 3rd. So it's really been the better part of 2 weeks for Kevin Keats' team, who, by the way, will host Campbell on Saturday. That's part of a triple header of basketball here on ACC Network following football from Winston-Salem. But, Pack, does this just tell you all you need to know about 2020, the fact we're able to slap 48 hours, we'll slap a game together, and then, oh, by the way, Kentucky, you were going to play UCLA, and now you're going to play Carolina.
I really kind of got a sample of this about a week or so ago when Coastal Carolina was scheduled to play Liberty. College game day is going to go down to beautiful Conway, South Carolina. Liberty all of a sudden test positive. Hey, we got to find a game. Hey, BYU, they're out there in Provo, Utah. They're open this weekend. And all the smart folks got together in a span of 48 hours. Next thing you know, BYU is in the Grand Strand playing a great game against Coastal Carolina. We saw it in football. You're going to see it tonight in hoops. Hey, we got nothing going on. Yeah. You guys playing? Nah. Hey, I'll tell you what. We'll take a flight. We'll catch you guys out there in St. Louis. Let's go play. It is the world of COVID football. It's the world of COVID basketball. And, again, we'll get a better sample of NC State tonight, too, which is all good.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.